Thank you for having me. It's nice to be wanted, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, some of you may not know who I am or what I do, so I'll give you a quick introduction to me. My name is Sue Exelby, and I was prayed out of River Church in 1989. I know. Yes. Commissioned out. Not that they wanted to get rid of me. I think, yeah, anyway. So I did some mission training in South Wales with World Horizons, and then I headed to Asia. So I've worked in Taiwan and China, and for the past 10 years I've been in Hong Kong. So I've worked in various places. And over those last 10 years, God has done amazing things. We have we planted a church. The people that we minister to are the minority groups within Hong Kong, because Hong Kong is not a closed country, unlike mainland China, and it has a thriving church among the Chinese speakers. But we minister to the Indonesians and the Filipinos that come to Hong Kong to work as domestic helpers, which means they work inside people's houses and they cook and they clean and they look after children. And the Muslim, the Indonesian ladies are from Muslim background. And the Filipino ladies are from Catholic background. And when they have their day off once a week, they have to leave their employers' houses and they have nowhere to go. So they sit on the street. Wow. Yeah, not very nice. So we have a care center. And they can come and they can sleep and they can eat, and we feed them and we pray for them and we look after them and we minister the love of God in practical ways. And of course, our prayer, our declaration is everybody that walks through the door of Shammah House will hear about Jesus. And we call the place Shammah House from one of God's names, Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. Isn't he there? Yes. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus, wherever you go, so is God. Amen. Right? We carry him. Amazing, isn't he? Our body is temple of Holy Spirit. So we call it Shammah House. And our declaration is everybody that comes will hear Jesus. Whether they choose to believe and receive, it's their free will. But we promise you, you will hear about him if you come. And they do. And they get healed. We have had some amazing healings among the Muslim ladies. We say to them, they come and they say, I have no money to buy medicine. And I got bad news from my family at home. And there's an operation needed. And it's very expensive. No NHS. Right? Like Peter, we say, not because we don't have money, because we live in prosperity, it's one of the blessings of God, but we say, we're not going to give you the money to buy the operation. What we're going to give you is Jesus, because the healing comes from him originally, doesn't it? Amen. And the Muslim lady, she sits there, and I say to her, are you willing for me to pray in the name of Jesus, and through my faith, your body will get well?
Come on.
And she says, yeah, okay, give it a go. Right? She's got no faith of her own. How do we receive things from God? We can only receive things from God through faith. Well, if you're ministering to somebody who doesn't yet believe in Jesus, whose faith is it? My faith. But I can release what I carry. You realize you carry. Jesus says, you will do the things I do. Mm-hmm. We often read that verse, John 12:14, and it says, and greater things than these. And we all focus on the, whoa, what's the greater things? Yeah. And most of us are not doing the, you'll do the same things as I did. You know, start there. Be real about it. What did Jesus do? Every time somebody who was sick came to him, they went away healed. Amen. And that was whether it was spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical. He's generous, and so are we. We have a family resemblance to our Father in heaven. We have a good God. He's generous. He's got very big pockets, but he's got very long arms. And if you ask him for something, he does not disappoint you, because he's already provided it through Jesus. I've gone off on a rabbit trail already, trying to tell you what we do in Shammah House. So we have these ladies who come. And recently we had one Indonesian lady, and she said to us, "My employer will not allow me to look after the baby because I keep coughing all over the child." I said, "I'm not surprised. If I was the mother, neither would I." So she said, "I can't go back, and they say they terminate my contract. What am I going to do? Can you give me money for medicine?" I said, "I could do, but better than that, would you like us to pray now? You get rid of the cough, and then you go back to your employer, and there's no problem." And she looked at me and she said, "Okay." So we did. And she took a drink of hot water and she said, "Wow, I feel better. Isn't that amazing?" This lady goes back to her Chinese employer. "Wow, that was quick. Did you get the medicine?" "No, but these ladies in the center, they did this prayer thing and they used the name of Jesus. And now I don't have the symptoms anymore." And the Chinese employer is saying, "Oh, well, maybe it's some philosophy that they have. Maybe it's some superstition. Maybe it was magic. Maybe they said magic to you." And the lady said, "No, I don't think it's magic. I think they call it prayer." Right? What we are seeing now is not only the Indonesian and Filipino ladies are getting saved and healed and delivered and set free from their oppression, but then they go back into their employers' families and they speak the truth and they live the truth. We had one of our ladies, Filipina ladies, and she'd got saved through us and we'd baptized her, and she's showing the photograph of her water baptism to her Chinese employers. And they're saying, "This is very interesting, but I'm Chinese, I'm Buddhist." And she said, "Yeah, but I'm Filipino, I'm Catholic. But now I understand what the priest had been telling me all of these years about Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And before, it was just tradition. Before, it was just, I do this because I live in the Philippines and this is what you do." And the Chinese employer said, "This is how we are with Buddhism. We go to the temple, we do the Paisan, we burn the incense." "Why?" "Because to be Chinese is to be Buddhist in our part of Hong Kong." She kept just being Jesus in the house, and it took about 3 months. And then the Chinese employer, "I'm sick. Can you go to the pharmacy, get the medicine?" And the girl, very brave, because when you're a domestic helper, you don't have much status. And the girl said, "Yes, ma'am, I will go to the pharmacy and get the medicine for you. But may I pray in the name of my God for you?" And the lady said, "Okay, if you want to do that, you can do that." So she said, "Will you sit, ma'am? May I lay my hand on your hand?" "Yes, okay, you can do this," right? It's not normal to touch people in this context, very unusual. She took her hand, and halfway through the, "I speak healing in Jesus' name," and pain, before she finished the sentence, the lady stood up and said, "Oh, no, it's gone. There's no pain." Excellent. It's not difficult, But I tell you, we get disappointed, right? At the very beginning of my Christian life, I was a very sick girl. I had very severe epilepsy. So severe, I had to give up my job. I couldn't be left alone in the house. I had to have a bath with the door open, you know? Very severe epilepsy. Couldn't drive a car, couldn't concentrate, was taking 5 different forms of medication. When I came to Jesus, one of the things I said to him, I'm about 3 days old in my faith. I knew nothing. Never read the Bible, not really been to church, didn't know how to pray. Nobody had explained healing to me. All I knew was God loved me, He accepted me, and all the mess I'd made in my life was all closed door now because I'm a new creature in Christ, right? Yes. That's what I knew. That's all I knew. But it was enough, right? Got me in the door. Now I'm exploring the new kingdom I'm living in. Yeah. And I said to God, from what I've heard about you, which isn't much, but if you really love me the way they tell me that you do, you don't like this sickness. I don't like it. I don't want it. And I don't think you want me to have it either. Now, I didn't know how to hear Holy Spirit, but somewhere inside me, I felt like there was something saying to me, you got that right. So I just said, I don't want this anymore. I don't think you want me to have it anymore. Thank you. I didn't say in Jesus' name. I didn't rebuke it. I just believed. So I stopped taking my medication. Now, I would not advise anybody to do that, right? Unless you are clear that you know that you are healed, because that can be dangerous, especially if we're talking about heart disease or diabetes or those kind of things. And with epilepsy, the same. But the truth is, I threw all the medication down the toilet. And a few weeks later, I went back for my checkup and they did the brain scan and all the things they used to do. And the doctor said, what happened to you? I said, I became a Christian. He said, yes, dear. What happened to you? Have you been to another doctor? They prescribed you a different medication. I said, no, I'm not taking anything. Pardon? I'm not taking anything. He said, oh, I got such a telling off. That's so dangerous. When they did the brain scan, nothing. I had left temporal lobe epilepsy with abnormal brain waves and the whole lot. Really, really bad. Nothing. No sign left. Sometimes we ask God, how do I qualify to get the blessing, Lord? Well, I did my 40 days fasting. Nothing. Well, I've done my 24 hours praying. Nothing. Well, I got the whole church to pray and fast. Well, I've been begging your God. Where are you? What are you doing? You know, God says, just believe. Let's turn to John 6:29. John chapter 6, verse 29. Okay, this is a question and answer session with Jesus. John 6:29. People come to Jesus and say to him, what do we have to do? People haven't changed. We're still asking God, what do I need to do? Aren't we? What is it you need today? Some of us need physical healing. Some of us need emotional healing. Some of us need to understand who we are in Jesus. What is it you need today? God is not sitting in heaven with his arms folded and say, prove you deserve it. And yet it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? If we're honest, it feels like I just missed it. I didn't qualify for some reason. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus himself, look what he says in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is your work. If you are a believer, you have work to do. He sums it up in one word. He says, believe. That's it. What's your work as a believer? Believe. Yeah. It's not complicated. What's the definition of an unbeliever? They don't believe. What's the definition of somebody who doubts? They doubt. What's the definition of a believer? We believe. So what do you believe? How much of everything that Jesus died to give you do you believe? Do you believe you got it already? Do you? Or do you wait for the evidence that your five senses say, oh yeah, now I believe I got it. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to somebody recently, talking about healing, giving some of the testimonies. And the person who had been a Christian for a long time, and the person said to me, if I'm not healed, I'm not healed. Don't tell me to say I'm healed when I'm not healed. I said, I didn't tell you to say you were healed if you're not healed. I said, but if I got pain, I got pain. Don't you tell me to say I've got no pain when I've got pain. I said, that would be telling you to lie, and that's wrong. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm asking you to do is allow Holy Spirit to bring the revelation that says, when you receive Jesus, you get everything. He withholds no good thing. Isn't that what the psalm says? But do we believe it? We believe it when we can see it, when we can feel it, when here's the evidence, see, look, I was living in poverty, now I got prosperity. How do you know? It's my bank statement. Look at all those zeros after the one.
I'll take it.
When you got the evidence, you don't need faith.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Do you? Think about it. You need hope. Hope first leads you into faith. If you can't hope that your situation will change, you become hopeless. I lived in hopelessness for a lot of years. After my testimony of being healed of epilepsy, after a couple of years of knowing Jesus, did my mission training, went on to the mission field. I'm going to give my all for Jesus. Here I am, Lord, the revolutionary missionary that is going to save China. After 3 years, I was a mess. I was a wreck. I was worn out. I was tired. I was disappointed. I was discouraged. And then I began having symptoms of depression. Oh boy, was I low. To the point, now, I had already known divine healing, but I had also now experienced, when I spoke about God's love, people saying, I don't believe. That's disappointing. I'd also prayed for people and laid my hands on them, like Mark 16 says, anybody can do this, don't have to be pastor of the church. It just says, believers, these signs will follow them. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. I'd done that. I'm a believer. I know God heals. I'd got healed. And the person got no better. When you have those kind of experiences, you get discouraged. And the devil loves it. Because he says, I just stole away some of your hope. I just undermined your faith. And then we start living in this balance of, I believe, I doubt. I believe, I doubt. And when the doubt becomes bigger than the faith that you are using, you get discouraged. And if you continue to allow the negative thoughts to go around your mind, they lead to depression. You probably heard this said, the battlefield is in the mind. That's where it is. That's why we battle with weapons that are all about controlling how we think. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about taking what is in your born-again spirit, releasing it, and letting it come out of your mouth. I'm not talking about, oh, I had a negative thought, I've got to think positive, I've got to think positive, I've got to think positive. It's rubbish. It really is, because I tried it. And it works when you're, oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm really going to believe. And then something happens to make you discouraged again, and you lose it. Because that's on the soul level, right? We're three parts, aren't we? We have a body, our little house that we are given, that we live in while we're here on earth. One day it's going to be glorified. Oh, we're going to be so perfect. But while we're on earth, God says, if something happens that it gets sick, I give you healing. If your youth starts draining away, I renew it. Yes. Right? I'll be 54 years old this year, but I tell you, I have more strength, more vitality, more energy than I did 20 years ago. Why is that? Because I renewed my mind and I believed it. If you look in the mirror and think, oh yeah, oh yeah. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. The evidence we get from our five senses is really, really powerful, because we are born into a world that says what you can see, what you can feel is reality, right? So we have a body. God gives us a soul. What's our soul? Our personality. It's where our mind is. It's our thoughts. It's our emotions. It's where our feelings are. It's also where we make our choices, right? Our free will choices, all part of your soul. And before you're born again, that's what you have, the two parts. But you have a spirit, except it's dead to God. Jesus was very clear about this. There's only one way to have a relationship with the true living God, and that's by believing in Jesus. So what happens in John 3, he says, if you believe, a miracle can happen inside you. You become born again. What is he talking about? He's talking about the other part of you, your spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And in your spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, you become one with Jesus when you get born again. One in spirit with Jesus. The marriage covenant is an example of this, isn't it? The two will become one flesh. So body and soul, you are joined together with your spouse. In the spirit, that's a reflection of what happens in our spirit when we get born again. In the spirit, there's no divorce. Jesus doesn't say, I've had enough of you. You're not as perfect as I thought you'd be. You're showing your age a bit. Bye. Going to find a newer... He doesn't do that, does he? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. If he loved you yesterday, if 2,000 odd years ago, he said, I love you enough to give my life. He's still saying the same thing. He's still saying the same thing. But because we don't feel it. How many times I've had women come, pray for me, I don't feel God loves me. Ooh. Honey pie, get out of the feelings and into the spirit. If you get it in your spirit, then the feelings will follow. Amen. But if you live on this level of feelings, and ladies, be honest about it, we often do, don't we? Right? If you live on the level of your feelings and something disappoints you and your feelings get hurt, it can be devastating, right? It can crush you. Now, Jesus knows that. He knows that, which is why he says, I bind up the brokenhearted. He doesn't just give healing physically, he gives healing emotionally. Some of the deepest wounds we will ever carry are not physical ones, they're emotional ones, aren't they? Where we are hurt, where we feel we are the victim, or we have deliberately or unknowingly made such a big mistake that you can't even forgive yourself. And Jesus says, how big do you think my love is? See, I haven't got a nice past life. I know I look fairly respectable now, right? But I haven't got a very nice past life, and there is some stuff in my past life, right? I got saved when I was 26. It's quite a few years to make a few big mistakes. And for the first few years of my Christian life, it was like I was dragging baggage. You ever done that? You ever felt like that? You're dragging baggage with you. And I kept thinking, oh God, I wish I hadn't have done that. Oh God. One day I felt like Holy Spirit said, Susan, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know that thing that I did, and I just... When God forgives you, let me remind you, I know some of you know this, but when God forgives you, he forgets.
Amen.
And he will never, never use your past to teach you things. He doesn't drag it back up and say, if you do that one more time, you know what will happen, because look at that. He doesn't do that. When God teaches us, he uses his word. That's what it says in Timothy. Scripture is God breathed, and it is used for our correction, our rebuke, our exhortation, our encouragement. It might come through a person, but it's God's word. It's God's word that teaches us. If you do something wrong and God sees that this is a toxic behavior, it's going to do you some harm, he wants to protect you. He doesn't say, because of my grace, live what you want. I love you anyway. He doesn't do that. That's not grace. That's stupidity. Grace, God's unearned, undeserved favor and blessing. Nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do to keep it. Nothing you can do to get more of it. Right? Then we do something that we know is not the best, and we think, I've blown it, there's going to be a consequence to this. And God says there doesn't have to be if you learn, if you choose to learn. But he doesn't say, okay, now I give you sickness. There you go, learn patience. While you're in your sick bed, you can't do other stuff, so you're going to read your Bible. Doesn't do that. Doesn't do that. He loves us. That's it. He loves us. So our spirit, our born-again spirit, carries God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt, lived in Jesus in bodily form. And then Jesus says, I give myself to you in the spirit, one with Christ. Now, that means everything that Jesus is, you've already got. But I can't see it. I can't feel it. I'm not living in it. That's a reality, but it's not the truth.
That's right.
Right? Jesus, the way to God, the truth of who God is, and your life. Jesus said, came to give you life in fullness. Not partial, not till you prove you deserve it, not till you get qualified, but I just give it. I give it. None of us live in the fullness of that, but some of us are getting better at it. And most of us really want to, don't we? So my question to you today is, who are you? I want to talk to you about your identity. Who are you? When somebody asks, who are you? Often we say our name. Hi, I'm Sue. No, that's what you're called. And sometimes you're not called that. I remember growing up when I was a naughty girl, I wasn't called Sue. Daddy didn't call me Susie. Susan Michelle X will be here now. Right? So what we're called can change. So then, who are you? Well, I'm English. No, that's where your mummy happened to be when you got born, right? And your nationality can change, right? Some people, you live in another country for enough years and they give you residency. I just got my residency in Hong Kong, right? So now I'm Hong Kongese. And British, right? That's just your nationality, and that can change. So who are you? Well, I'm a teacher. No, that's what you do. That's your job. That's not your identity. Who are you? I was thinking about this one day, and eventually I got it back to I'm spirit. Yes, that's what you are. That's who you are. That's the real you. See, this is going to change. It's going to be glorified. When we're living together, when we see Jesus face to face, we recognize each other, but we're going to be perfect. Wonderful. Isn't that hopeful?
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't manifest here, then thank God I don't go through eternity with it. Your soul changes. You like one thing one week, you like something else another week. Your soul changes. Changes with age. It changes with experience, right? Your spirit doesn't change. Your born again spirit is as perfect, as complete as it will ever be through the whole of eternity. And God says, to make sure you don't mess that bit up as well, I seal it with my Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? It's not possible to mess up your spirit. It's sealed with his Holy Spirit. You're one with Jesus. It's about time we believed it, recognized it, and start living as we really are, isn't it? Wow. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Right, this verse, often used, baby believers. What do we say? You're a new creature in Christ. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Still look the same, still feel the same, still have the same bad habits. What happened? Is God's word a liar? No. That's your reality of experience, but this is truth. This is truth. So what's he speaking of here? If you are in Christ, see, there's a qualification. If nobody can force you to believe. If I could force everybody who walks through the door of my house to believe, they'd all be saved on day one, and they're not. But I can't live in the disappointment of that. I live in the hope that today's the day of salvation. Is that day for you today? Is it? Do you already know you are in Christ? If you do, if you're confident of that, you know where you go when you die. But it's not just about eternal identity. It's about what happens now, isn't it? He doesn't save us and then leave us. Okay, great. We'll meet again, you know, when you see me face to face. But in the intervening years, make the best job of it that you can. He doesn't do that. We have a phrase for that. It's called absentee father. God's not like that. He's perfect father. He's heavenly father, isn't he?
Yes.
He doesn't leave us. He does not forget about us. That word forsake means forget. God does not forget about his children. If you are a child of God, he loves you. He is involved with every every detail of your life, and he wants you to live in the blessing. That's why he saved you. He looked at eternity and said, I don't want to go through that without you. So what am I going to do about the mess that you made and the fact that you got a dead spirit to me and that you're not holy and you're full of sin and I can't have you in my presence when you're like that? And Jesus said, didn't he? God loved the world and showed his love by giving his only son. And Jesus struggled with that, but he came through and said, I'll do your will, Father. I'll do your will, Father. I'll do it. I'll be an obedient son. I'll do it. And he did it. And it's in the past tense. And when he said finished, he meant finished. He meant completed everything necessary. I want to give you a challenge. There are many words that come out of our mouths, and many of them are all about, oh God, just do it. Here I am. You know what to do. Just do it. And God says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, you go. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for him to do that he has not already done? He gave you the same power Jesus used when he was in his physical body. Hasn't he?
Yes.
We even got a book of instructions about it, except we don't read it. And there we are on our knees begging God to do something. And if God can be confused, it's like, didn't I already heal them? Didn't I already provide prosperity for them? You know where I am here. You know my address. I'm willing. Well, great that you're willing. But if you are a born again, spirit-filled child of God, you already got it. Now, that might be challenging because if you're in a difficult situation at the moment, it can feel like my words are bringing condemnation. I am not bringing condemnation to you. I am bringing a challenge. So we refuse the condemnation in Jesus' name. That's the devil just trying to steal God's word. Because he knows if you plant God's word in your heart and your soul agrees with what your spirit already knows, you are such a power to be reckoned with. He doesn't have the power to limit your life anymore. We have an enemy, but he's been defeated. Right? He's very good at lying to us and telling us he's still got power. The only power the devil has is if he can deceive you so that you believe he's got the power. I pray for somebody recently, 3 different kinds of cancer. And the person that asked me to pray for them, they said, you know it's serious when they start speaking in whispers. We don't speak about it. It's not difficult for Jesus, is it? Can I heal them? In my own strength, I can't heal a fly. But it's not my power. It's not my strength. See, I'm a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That new creature is talking about a combination of Jesus and the newborn again me. So who am I now? I am a spirit. That's who I am. That's the real me. The real me is who I am in the spirit. What's my name now? My name is Jesus Susan. That's who I am. So you can say the same if you know Jesus. His name comes first, and then there's a hyphen, and then there's your name. That's your true identity, who you are in the Spirit, one in spirit with Jesus. When we choose to live out of who we are in the Spirit, this material, physical world has to change. So whether you are praying and speaking and taking authority over cancer, pain, sickness, emotional turmoil, depression, whatever it is, if you know who you are in your spirit and you choose to use the authority that Jesus gave you, his name, Holy Spirit power, devil's already defeated. Don't get caught up in what you can see and feel. It's reality. Like the person who said, don't tell me to say I'm not in pain if I'm in pain. I wouldn't do that. I know a lady who came to the church one time with her arm in a cast. And the pastor said to her, did you break your arm? No, I'm healed. No, I haven't broke my arm. I've not got a broken arm. No. It's like, huh? But I can see the evidence. No, in Jesus, by Jesus' wounds, I have been healed. Yes, that's true. That's the truth. But the reality, sweetheart, is you've got a bone that's broken in your arm. You see, we can't just say stuff that we know is the truth and ignore reality. That's not faith. Faith is believing plus an action. But you can't do the action without the believing. See, if the lady had the revelation that by Jesus' wounds I have been healed, she would have taken the cast off and said, look, my arm is healed. Well, we can be very stupid about things sometimes. It's not about pretending. Often with things we pretend because, well, I don't want to say how it really is because, you know, it's not a good witness, is it? It's not good testimony. And God says, I didn't create stupid people. Why are you behaving like that? No wonder people who don't know God, you know, they look at us sometimes and think, where is your brain? Yeah. God doesn't take your brain out to put Holy Spirit in, does he?
That's right.
You could be real about these things. If you've got a problem in your body, you've got a problem in your body. It's not because, oh, I don't have enough faith and I'm such a poor, pathetic worm of a believer. It's because you're also holding some doubt or unbelief. And we're in a body of believers to encourage one another. We don't condemn somebody and say, well, you know the truth. You shouldn't be sick. You should be healed. And people are like that. I want to get up and slap them. When I was suffering from depression, right, I had to come back from China. I was suicidal. Now, that's my part of my testimony now because I'm not like that anymore. Woohoo! But it's part of my testimony because that was the reality I lived in for over 2 years. And people in River Church had to look after me. And I felt, oh, I'm not a very good example, am I? And I have members of my family, they're not believers yet. What? You said your God does everything you need him to do and look at the state of you. But you can't pretend. That's not what God asks you to do. He asks you to be real, but you know Psalm 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says walk. It doesn't say camp. And for a time, I'd set up my tent and I was sitting there in the shadow of the valley, in the death, oh God. It's not funny when you go through it, but looking back, thank God he didn't let go of me, because there were times when I thought, unless you're holding me, Lord, reality of it. But I'm not like that now. Why? Because I renewed my mind. Because I know more now who I am in my spirit. My encouragement to you today is find out who you really are. Find out who you really are. I'll give you one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, purge out the old leaven. That's talking about yeast. It means get rid of the old yeast. That you may be a new lump. That's like the dough. As you really are. Since you truly are unleavened. She's talking about your identity in Christ, right? Live as you really are. What am I doing? 1 Corinthians 5:7. What did I say?
6:17.
You still love me, don't you? Well, at least you're not all gone to sleep. Okay, well, I'm reading out of the right page of my Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:7, I do apologize. Oops. Okay. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Okay, what it's saying is, imagine you're a lump of dough, and you used to have yeast in the dough. But now the yeast, representing the sin, has been taken out. And it says, as you really are, you are a new lump, a new creature, a new identity without sin. That's who you really are. So we need to live as we really are.
Very good.
Right?
Very good.
To close our time together, I want to ask you, do you know where you go when you die? Is there anybody here that doesn't have confidence that they have relationship with God? I don't know you, so I don't know. Is there anybody that is not filled with God's Holy Spirit? Is there anybody that has come with a need today and you are encouraged enough to say, I'm going to receive what I need because I recognize I'm not waiting for God to do something. He already did it. Didn't he? He already did it in Jesus. The way I got through the depression was recognizing I had been meditating on the negative. The scripture that turned the light on for me was Romans 8:6. I lived it. Should we go there? I'll give you one more scripture. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You already got everything good in your spirit because you're one in spirit with Jesus. Has Jesus got anything bad to give you? Jesus got any sickness, any poverty, any depression, any heartache? None. Then he can't share it with you because he hasn't got it. He hasn't got it to give. He has not got it to give. So he shares what he has. But we have a mind and our mind needs to be renewed. Look at this. Carnally minded, that means fleshly, soulishly. Filling your mind with the reality of life that is not the truth. He doesn't say, it's not very good for you. He says, it's death. Does he mean you're going to drop down dead and go to heaven if you have a bad thought? No. What he means is, you open the door to the devil who comes and tries to steal. The devil came to... Do you believe that?
Yes.
Some of us label those kind of things and say, that's what God's doing. God forbid that we label the devil's work and say that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't do that. It should be so clear. God is good. The devil is bad. God does the good stuff and the devil does the bad stuff. I tell you something that can be controversial. It might be in this church, I'm not sure. But God does not have to use the devil to teach you anything. Well, God just allows it. Oh, sweetheart, he doesn't. We allow it. Right? God doesn't say to the devil, okay, go ahead. Have a bit of a field day with this one. He doesn't do that. God is not in partnership with the devil. In anything. They are separate, opposite, and do not cooperate together. Carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you want to live in more of the truth of who you are in the spirit, change your mind. Renew your mind. That's where it happens. Stop cooperating with the devil when he brings in a thought like, well, I prayed about this 14 times and it's not worked. Well, pray a 15th time. Get somebody to pray with you, for you. Change the way you've been praying. You know, a lot of words that we label prayer, it's not prayer. My favourite definition of prayer is in 1 John 5, and it says, if we pray in agreement with his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we've got what we asked for. Don't label everything between dear God and amen as prayer. I don't care how religious your voice sounds. How many times you say in Jesus' name? How respectful it sounds. If it is not in agreement with his will, it's not prayer. It's just words. And it's not going to achieve anything. So I would like to ask you to stand. If you are choosing today to believe in Jesus, to be filled with Holy Spirit, or if you have a need and you recognize, now I believe that in my spirit I've already have it, and I just want to agree by renewing my mind and saying, thank you, Father, I receive it. There's no condemnation for how long these things take. It's simply believing God loves you. That's it. Okay? How would you like to do this?
Did you want to pray for people?
Yes, yeah. I would like you to... You know, sometimes it's important to make an action, isn't it? Right? I would like you to make an action. Faith is believing plus an action. So your action is stand. That's what I'm asking you to do. I want us to pray out loud. So I want you to follow me in a prayer. Now, some of the things that I say might not relate directly to your situation, but I'm going to do this en masse, okay? So if you're already saved and you're speaking out about believing in Jesus, it's not going to mess up your relationship with God, okay? If you're already full of Holy Spirit and you're asking to be full of Holy Spirit, it's okay. But I would like us to do these things, and I want you to speak out loud. because words are really powerful. Amen. Okay? All right. Repeat after me. Father God,
I believe
Jesus is your son.
I believe
he died
and took the punishment
for my sin.
Today,
I receive
forgiveness.
I am a new creature
in Christ.
I am born again.
I ask you, Father,
to fill me
with your Holy Spirit,
that I may
do the things
that Jesus did.
I thank you,
Holy Spirit.
You will never leave me.
You will never forsake me.
I am
a child of God.
My identity
is in my relationship
with Jesus.
I am
spirit,
one with Jesus.
Father God,
I thank you.
Jesus has paid the price
to forgive me,
to heal me,
to prosper me,
and to deliver me
from the kingdom of Satan.
Today,
I choose
to receive.
Father God,
you see my need.
I believe
you meet it
now.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.